Okay, I fully intended to keep on and when we left off last week on cremation and the Christian, I thought, well, I'd say a couple words about the shame of America and what's going on tomorrow, and then I started putting some thoughts together, and I think I'll just talk about that today. Brother Powell alluded in his prayer, I gave you all a handout, which I look at again later, too. I'll talk this morning about forgetting a Christian general and remembering a reprobate reverend. It's a shame. It should be an embarrassment to the American nation that they set aside and mark tomorrow as Martin Luther King Jr. Day. King was born on January 15th, 1929. And his life is mockery of Christianity and to all that they claim to be remembering him for. Isaiah 5:20 speaks, I think, very well to this nation, what's going on. Isaiah 5:20 and 21. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. In the past, we've spent time and looked at some of the ugly and vile details, and I'm not going to get into some of the details so much today. But anyone that doubts the facts that I present today can easily verify them for themselves. You remember one time I related a story a young black lady wrote. She was doing a report and studying on Martin Luther King, and she was like, wow, something's wrong here. I mean, if anybody is willing to hear the truth, they'll see that truth. Today, I'm just going to hit some of the highlights. Well, I guess I shouldn't call them highlights. I guess they're the low lights of a low life. King, and it's easily confirmed, according to his own associates, was a philanderer and a whoremonger. Amongst them, so-called Reverend Abernathy and many others who knew him very intimately. Martin King thought nothing of honoring his marital vows. Brings to mind a story I've told you all before, I'm sure, but you know, when I was a young Marine Corps officer in basic school, that sticks with me what Colonel Smith stood up there and said to this whole big class of Marine Corps officers. He said, you know, a man that will not honor his marital vow, I cannot trust that he will honor his vow and his oath to the Constitution. You know, if he won't honor those vows, how can he be trusted to honor any other vows? According to King's close associates, his very last night on earth was spent with a white prostitute whom he had beaten during the night. Let me say this, and I've kind of alluded to some of this earlier. You cannot find fault with the morality of Martin Luther King and exalt a man like Donald Trump. hypocrisy of some white Republican Christians just astounds me. They don't see it. I know that. Diane and I met a lady this week. We were in TJ Maxx. And she came up and she said, "Are you a rebel?" I don't know why she would say that. You know why she would say that. And I said, "Yes, I am." And she kind of hugged me around the neck. And she just went on about, she's in the UDC and she's talks about how conservative she is, and she's a big GOPer, Trumper and everything, and we talked a little bit about that. I'm not condemning folks, but they're just blind. I really believe it. How in the world do we condemn King for his moral reprobate life, and we embrace a man like Donald Trump? I don't understand it, but that's a whole other topic. I guess we're not yet observing Donald Trump Day, but if he has his way about it, we may before his term's over even. I don't know. King was a moral reprobate. Beyond that, he was a lying thief and a plagiarizer. Part of the King's doctrinal thesis, and this has been proven, was a complete plagiarism. And besides that, it was complete and total rank heresy. I mean, if you're going to steal something, you think you might steal something good, but I guess that's what King believed, basically. And exactly how much he has to do with it and the fault that's there between him and his father, but even his name is a lie. When he was born, his birth certificate said Michael King Jr. And at some point, he and his dad decided to change their names to Martin Luther King, though there's no record that it was ever officially done. Just kind of appropriate, I think, in the light. The thing, perhaps, that King is most remembered for, his famous "I Have a Dream" speech, was a plagiarism. It was stolen from a 1952 speech given at the GOP convention by a black pastor and Republican politician. That sounds kind of funny today, doesn't it? A black pastor and Republican politician from the south side of Chicago by the name of Archibald Carey Jr. And King repeated Carey's "I Have a Dream" speech and is remembered for it. Martin Luther King attended communist training schools. There's records of it. There's pictures of it. As little as I think of the FBI, the FBI will confirm it. He was associated with open communists. He was advised by open communists. He employed open communists. And when even the Attorney General of the United States, who at the time was Robert F. Kennedy, the Attorney General of the United States warned him about his associates, King said he would get rid of them and fired them, but then it came to light he never did fire them. He publicly said he did, but they continued on in his employ. King was a false prophet that denied the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And you see all these little towns around the South, even. Hell, I got the Williston had a Martin Luther King Day parade. I guess it wasn't the city itself that did it, I don't know. But no telling what Gainesville's doing. But no telling, incorporate with that. Jeremiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, spoke to those sort of false prophets. the prophet at Jeremiah 23, verse 28 through 32. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Of course, there's no record of Martin Luther King ever speaking the word of God faithfully. He would laud Gandhi and other communists and his own dream. But God said, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat? You know, there's a man's dream and there's the word of God. Saith the Lord. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one, from his neighbor. He's kind of talking about the understanding there, but, you know, that almost applies to a plagiarism, too, doesn't it? But, who steal my words, every one, from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. That's about all the kind of Christianity or churchianity we see today. These false churches that follow the inclinations of the day and the false beliefs of the day, that promote all these abhorrent behaviors, and they say, he said, God's just okay with that. Well, I guess they ain't never read the book. Although I'm against the prophet, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone, from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord. And do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people, saith the Lord. Martin Luther King denied almost every fundamental of the Christian faith. Now, we can prove that because it's in his own writings, or maybe the writings he stole. It's hard to tell. He denied the sonship of Christ. He denied the virgin birth. He denied the resurrection of Christ. He denied God's supernatural plan of salvation. Such a man is clearly not a child of God. And yet, tomorrow, America honors the Right Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I've said oft times before, there's only one that's called reverend in Scripture. And it's not Martin Luther King. Psalms tells us in Psalm 111:9, he sent redemption unto his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Reverend is his name. No place else is that title applied to a man, nor should it be. And so shame on America. And of course, I could go on with more and more, but I'm not going to about King. America is indeed guilty of calling evil good. And I'm not embarrassed to say, and I often do. That's why there's no striped rag in here. And that's why I often say it ain't my flag and it ain't my country. And it gets people upset. That flag promotes people like King and his false philosophies and the murder of the unborn and spreading an empire around the globe and sodomy and all these other perversions that I could have never imagined cropping up every day. And so, yeah, That's where America is, calling evil good. On the other hand, as Brother Howe mentioned in his opening prayer, yesterday was the birthday of Robert E. Lee. He was born on January the 19th, 1807. General Lee was not a perfect man. He would have been the first one to tell you that. But he was a genuine Christian gentleman and made so by our sovereign Lord. And I'll say this, maybe somebody would want to contradict me. Maybe they can. But I know of no finer Christian exemplar that ever bore the name of American than General Robert E. Lee. How often, where did I put that plaque that I have on my wall from James Robertson? He says, in the pantheon of American soldiers, none stands taller than Generals Edward Lee and Thomas Jonathan Stonewall Jackson. They now seem larger than life. When considering Lee and Jackson, eyes seem to lift. So does the mind. The very words those men used, gentleman, duty, valor, honor, have a quaint sound in these times because they have become unfamiliar terms. People who say that Lee and Jackson did not really exist make that statement because no one like them exists now. You know, that's what all the liberals say, that, you know, the lost cause myth, that these things didn't really happen. I mean, they don't deny that there were people called Lee and Jackson, but they just said they're nothing like that. But they can't pin anything on it because the facts speak for themselves. Robert E. Lee had a wonderful Christian testimony. And just a few of his quotes and thoughts, some of them I shared with you on that handout. When General Lee was informed that the chaplains of the army were praying for him, his eyes filled with tears, and he replied, "I sincerely thank you for that. I can only say that I am a poor sinner, trusting in Christ alone, and that I need all the prayers you can offer for me." General Lee understood his standing and need before God because God made that evident to him. It's quite clear that he was one of God's elect. And his words there, I'm poor sinner trusting in Christ alone, caused me to remember the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15. "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." If you're not a sinner, there's no salvation for you. Christ came in the world to save sinners. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. Lee further said, my chief concern is to try to be a humble, earnest Christian. There was a man that was leading a vast army in a terrible war, and yet he understood the priorities of life. And if those priorities aren't right, none of the rest of it's going to be right. My chief concern is to try to be a humble, earnest Christian. And unlike Martin Luther King, General Lee believed the book. He found solace in the book. He found comfort in the book. General Lee said, "The Bible is a book in comparison with which all others are of minor importance, and which in all my perplexities and distresses has never failed to give me light and strength." General Lee understood that this book is the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. And he may not understand it all, but it's all infallible and inerrant. Further concerning the book, General Lee said, "There are things in the old book which I may not be able to explain, but I fully accept it as the infallible Word of God." You won't hear those words from Martin Luther King or most modern preachers, modern politicians, modern generals. Well, guys, we got to change. We got to get with the times. We got to accept things. "There are things in the old book which I may not be able to explain, but I fully accept it as the infallible Word of God and receive its teachings as inspired by the Holy Spirit." What did Paul write to young Timothy, pastor at the church of Ephesus, in 2 Timothy 3:16? "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. It means complete or mature. The man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished with all good works. As Lee said, "In all my perplexities and distresses, the Bible has never failed to give me light and strength." By the grace of God, General Lee understood these things. General Lee understood and trusted in an all-sovereign God. In the midst of this terrible conflict and some very dark days, General Lee was able to say, "At present, I'm not concerned with results. God's will ought to be our aim. And I am contented that His design should be accomplished and not mine." He understood that God was in control, that God was working His perfect will, and that's in spite of the difficulties and the trials. That's what he desired, the will of God. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1 and verse 11, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him that worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." We've been predestinated according to the purpose of Him that works all things after the counsel of His own will. How can you fail but to find comfort and strength in such things, even as General Lee did? General Lee's humility as a Christian, as a man, was often on display. He descended from a long line of illustrious ancestors, and yet he never sought to flaunt a position of superiority so that he was better than anyone else, but exactly the opposite. Just one small example of it, if you ever look at pictures of Lee, and you'll see he wears on his collar three stars, just three unadorned stars. And since we've been brainwashed by the American military standards. And that picture I handed you, those three stars, that is not the emblem of a lieutenant general, as it is in our. The three stars were an emblem in the Confederate Army of a colonel. That's all he ever wore in his uniform. Three stars, not with the wreaths around them, like you'll see all the other generals have, which that was the symbol for all the general officers in the Confederate Army. And once he was asked, he says, "Why is it, General, that you do not wear the full insignia of your rank, but content yourself with the stars of a colonel?" "Oh," replied Lee, "I do not care for display. The truth is that the rank of colonel is about as high as I ought ever to have gotten. And perhaps I might manage a good cavalry brigade if I had the right kind of subordinates." I don't think it was, you know, a display of a false humility. You know, General Lee, you know, realized the Lord had brought him to this place, and whatever. But he felt his own needs, and he was a humble man. He didn't seek to make shows, and that just always spoke to me during the whole war. That's all he wore, were those three stars. Colonel. Everybody knew who he was, though. So. But above all, General Lee was a man of great and undaunted faith in Jesus Christ. We've looked before at the orders he issued to his men in observance of a fast day that had been called by President Davis. He said, "Soldiers, we have sinned against Almighty God. We have forgotten his signal mercies and have cultivated a revengeful, haughty, and boastful spirit. We have not remembered that the defenders of a just cause should be pure in his sight, and that our times are in his hands. And we have relied too much on our own arms for the achievement of our independence. God is our only refuge and strength. Let us humble ourselves, therefore, before him. Let us confess our many sins and beseech him to give us a higher courage, a pure patriotism, and more determined will, and that he will convert the hearts of our enemies, that he will hasten the time when war with its sorrows and sufferings may cease, and that he will give us a name and place among the nations of the earth." That's all we see. Brother Howe noted, you know, Lee today is betrayed by the left as some evil traitor, and the onslaught continues. And it's insane. And more so as the empire strengthens, it will brook no opposition. Statues of Lee are being taken down around the country. And all these accusations, none stick to him. In many ways, you can almost view him as Joseph. There's no genuine record of ill doing. Not that he was perfect or sinless. And they make up stuff nowadays. All sorts of things. But there's no genuine record of the evil doing on the part. Even the only cadet through all its years to go through West Point without a single demerit. He was never given a demerit his whole time at West Point. One time, I guess initially anyway, maybe some liberal found some demerits on Lee's page. And as they looked closer, they saw they were not his demerits. They were the demerits of another cadet who would fill his page up. And then they'd come over and start writing this cadet's on Lee's page. Increasingly, America calls evil good, as we'll see tomorrow, and calls good evil, as they do in the case with General Lee. And may the Lord have mercy on us. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. And unless the Lord is pleased to raise up some men like General Robert E. Lee, it is my considered judgment that we are finished. Then, like Martin Luther King Jr., or Michael King Jr., or like Donald J. Trump, such men will not do. If God in His providence is pleased, He'll raise up such men. And if He isn't, His will be done. As General Lee said, I'm not concerned with results. My concern is that the will of God be done. And I trust that's all of our concerns. And God keep us from evil and the evil that surrounds us. And the evil that's going to be promoted across the nation tomorrow. Let's take our hymnals and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 28. Take the name of Jesus with you. Number 28. If you like, you can stand as we'll sing his closing hymn.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you, take it and wear you. Hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven, take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptation round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, oh sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. The precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy. When His loving arms receive us, and His songs are sung to joy. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate King of kings and of heaven. When our journey is complete, precious name,
precious name.
Oh, how sweet.
Oh, how sweet.
Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name,
precious name.
Oh, how sweet.
How sweet.
Hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to gather as your people, to study your word, or to consider those that you've been pleased to use in the past. Witnesses and testimonies of those that went before us, and Lord, to be warned against the false heroes that are promoted in our day. Lord, may we judge ourselves and all things in the light of your word. And Lord, may we be ever willing to speak forth your truth. Lord, we thank you that Phil and Joanne are feeling better with us this week. Pray for all those that you've brought across their paths and that are able to visit with us from time to time. Those that may listen via our video, our audio. Lord, may you be glorified in all. Father, we thank you that you were pleased to open our eyes and our hearts and our ears and allow us to see ourselves as we were, as poor sinners in need of a Savior. Oh, we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit that brought us to embrace the gospel of our salvation. Lord, keep your hand on your people. Use us to your glory. Be with all our brethren and sisters in the Lord and all of our sister churches. Lord, may your people stand true and right. Strong and courageous in these days in which we live. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.